Articles by Fearlessly Courageous. Is discipleship working today? If not, why not? Personally, I am intricately involved in our men's ministry, and its success falls squarely on the foundation of discipleship, fellowship. We have made amazing strides by the power of the Holy Spirit, especially this last semester, in helping the men establish real relationships. And as you know, we don't always do that very well. I would like to dive into how God's people, Christians, are growing in God and how they are not. First, the ultimate mark of a disciple is found in Matthew 7:12 and Luke 9:23. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. We'll come back to these two texts. Many Christian teachers teach that the way to cure lukewarmness is to make God's people feel guilty and condemned. So guilt is a tool that's used as the driver for spiritual fervor and zeal. Yeah, you can guilt people into following Jesus and being a good Christian for a while. Then it wears off. Not to mention that Jesus set us free from guilt, condemnation, and shame. Romans 8:1. What? Isn't the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit enough? We are often told that in order to be a good disciple of Jesus, you must do these seven things. Pray, read your Bible, go to church, tithe, witness, do your best to do what Jesus said to do, and seven, disciple others by teaching them to do these same things. In general, Christians want to discover how they can become more like Jesus. But is that what the New Testament envisions for the life of a disciple? Can we find this formula in the apostles and the early Christians? Well, yes and no. Let's take each point one by one. Pray. Yes, the early Christians prayed, but not like most believers do. They understood that the highest form of prayer is fellowship, which is a two-way communication. They also knew how to follow their spiritual instincts. Read the Bible. Well, the early disciples didn't have Bibles. The Old Testament was virtually inaccessible, and the New Testament hadn't been written yet. When Paul's letters and the Gospels were written, they were circulated, but there were no printing presses in those days. They were very scarce, and most of the early Christians couldn't read or write. The Jewish Christians certainly heard the scriptures in the synagogue from childhood, and when the apostles came, the Christians heard the preaching of the word, but their encounters with the word of God were much more than learning the written scriptures, which they learned orally. There was something else involved. They knew how to encounter God in the scriptures and feed upon his living word. Tithing. The early Christians didn't tithe until well after the death of the apostles. They certainly gave to others, but they didn't follow Israel's income tax system, which was actually more than 10%, they gave according to their abundance. Go to church. The early Christians didn't go to church. They were the church, and they gathered regularly. They had meetings, but they were a shared life community first and foremost. Witness. The early Christians witnessed to the life of Christ by their deeds. And the apostles and evangelists proclaimed the gospel in different parts of the world. But there was no evangelical program that the early believers obsessed over. They certainly shared their faith by the leading of the Spirit, but their lives were epistles written by God's Spirit. Number 7, do your best to do what Jesus said. The early believers didn't take the word of Jesus like they took the Old Testament law in a legal way, trying to fulfill his words in their own power and strength. There was something else at work. There is a missing ingredient in discipleship today that answers the question of how to become like Jesus. The way to be like Christ, as it's commonly taught, is by imitating Jesus. I believe this emphasis is correct, but it's not complete. Some 480 years later, Charles Sheldon's book, In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do, was published. Even then, Christians have been trying to do what Jesus did. You know, WWJD. But this gospel hasn't worked. The reason? It's an instance of asking the wrong question. The question is not, what would Jesus do? I believe it's, what is Jesus Christ doing through me and through us? Jesus made clear that we cannot live the Christian life. Instead, he must live it through us. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Shockingly, Jesus himself could not live the Christian life without his Father. Jesus gave him this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. John 5:19. By myself, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. John 5:30. So the question is not, what would Jesus do? I believe it's, what is Jesus Christ doing through me and through us? When we are nothing. When we die to ourselves, we leave complete room for God the Holy Spirit to live through us, commune with us. Jesus did nothing unless he heard from the Father first. He emptied himself. Isn't that the humility that we've been talking and speaking about this week? Is that the disciple that you are? I pray that you make it a Jesus-filled week.